Welcome back, everyone, to this 34th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Do you want to start laughing or anything?
I'm muting.
See, the thing is, I might sound a little bit different. My headset just blew up while we were recording this. Like, we've already done all this, but we're re-recording because the headset blew up. And I'm using a new headset. I'm using my fiance's headset. And from what Ruby tells me, my voice sounds like Walmart special.
This is awesome.
I sound like I have a deeper voice or something.
Yes.
This is a very manly headset. It made me so much more manly, I guess. So I went from the Microsoft, I don't know what model this is. Oh, the LifeChat LX3000, which is the one I've been using for years. And then the cat made sure to change that.
Yeah, your cat tried to eat it.
He chewed through the cord. So now I'm using this Logitech one, and I might be buying a new headset. I'm going to buy one just like this so that I always sound like this.
Oh, I will pay for that. I will contribute money to that fund. Is that the one that, does it like wrap around the back of your head?
No, it's still a headset, but it has this, it has a little tiny microphone that like barely, it doesn't go in front of my mouth, which I guess is a good thing for like popping and stuff like that. But it kind of makes me nervous because it's like over here on the side. And it's like, yeah. What are you doing over there?
This makes me think of the Darth Vader voice changer.
Yeah, I'm like looking on here like, is there a voice changer or something?
I hope so much that this translates into the podcast because you sound so awesome right now. Hello.
Awesome. I hope so, too.
Okay, so Guild Wars.
Yes, and we have, of course, a class reveal, a profession reveal, the Guardian. And last episode we talked about this. I kind of threw in a little blurb about how there was a leak over at PC Gamer where they had, just in the caption of a picture, they said, Logan Thackeray represents the Guardian of Guild Wars 2, the Guardian class. And so there was a lot of speculation about how that was leaked, or if it wasn't leaked, or if it was 100% something that was planned to reveal it in a caption of a photo, or if it wasn't. You know, I mean, there was a lot of speculation on that. Regina came in to the forums and said, actually, this is true, but we're going to officially announce it next week, which makes me believe that it wasn't, that they weren't really ready for it to come out then. How many times can I mention that? I don't know. But,
oh my gosh. Well, I have all sorts of opinions on that, and I'll sit on them unless you tell me differently.
No, I recommend sitting on them.
Okay, fine.
No, but the point is now it's kind of a moot point anyway, because we have the Guardian information. We have, we have video, we have photos, we have a kind of a breakdown of their skills that they do. And it's pretty exciting because a lot of people are calling it almost the replacement to the monk, which is pretty cool. But we will talk about that later in more depth. We're going to talk about our impressions of it and the videos and everything. And also, we have a lot of emails to read, way more than we can possibly read on the show, but we're going to get through a good chunk of them. And then we'll talk a little bit at the end about the next episode, which will be the next roundtable. And this one I'm excited about because we actually have people, we had like four people who I picked, and we're going to see if we can get them all on there. Now we're trying to, coordinate schedules and all that, which is usually the most difficult part. But
yeah, it's good times.
Yeah, should be a fun show, though. So, as far as Guild Wars, what have you been up to this week?
Well, the Massively Guild is still going through factions. We're live streaming every Thursday night. We did Eternal Grove. We gave Count Zuhelzer his 10,000 faction to satisfy him that we were worthy of continuing. And we moved on to Eternal Grove, and that's the one where you have to protect the Tree Singers while the Luxons are attacking. And they're coming in from two sides, and they've got siege turtles and all this good stuff. So we had a really good time with that. And something that we got to talking about, it's just interesting, if you haven't done that mission enough, or if you're maybe a newer player, it can be so, so difficult and frustrating. Or it can be just an absolute piece of cake, which thankfully it was a piece of cake Thursday night. But since, you've got this little area and there are gates and you've got the Tree Singers inside the gates, and a lot of people who aren't very familiar with that mission, they, the entire group, all eight of them, will go charging out one gate and meet the Luxons. And meanwhile, the Luxons are like, hey, thanks for leaving the other door unguarded. We'll just come in there and we'll kill all the tree singers while you're over there. Thanks. You know, thanks for making it so easy. And people can get really, really frustrated at how hard this mission, because it just seems impossible to protect the tree singers. Thankfully, I had a group that knows, okay, you split four and four. Each of you go guard one gate. Do not run down the steps and explode. Just stand inside the gate and let them come to you. So we got masters without, I think we were chatting about something. I don't even remember what we were chatting about, but we got masters so easily, and it was just a blast. We had so much fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fun. I'm really glad that that guild is working out so well. You know, we do that in a lot of games at Massively, where we have these different, kind of play groups. And mm-hmm. that one seems to be one of the most consistent, and you guys are really going pretty far in that group.
It has really turned into such a cool thing. And honestly, I was a little worried, I think, early last summer, because we started the guild in May. Early last summer, it was kind of quiet there for a little while, and we had maybe like two or three people participating. And I was going, you know, is this gonna work out? Is this just going to – maybe I made a mistake by trying to start a guild in such an old game. And after that, I mean, it just like exploded right about the time I was kind of getting worried. And actually, you know what, that's something I kind of want to address really quickly. Guild Wars has a guild member cap of 100 members. And we had, you know, a lot of people, you come in and you try a game and you find it's not for you, and you kind of move on. But what I found, we were, after a while, we reached that cap of 100 people, and we still had, I mean, we would have like 10, 15 people at a time going, hey, I want to join, and we didn't have anywhere to put them. So in the end, what we had to do was say, all right, let's look, people that have been inactive for 4 months, obviously they found this wasn't for them, and that's cool, but we need to remove those people from the guild and let some active, you know, let active people in. I hate to take up guild space when we don't have any available. And that kept up until eventually we had to say, all right, 1 month inactive, you get kicked. And now I have a couple people coming back, and I mean, one guy was like, you know, I got married and went on my honeymoon. And then I come back to find out that apparently that's enough to kick me from the guild. So, you know, sue me.
No marriages in the guild. That's a strict rule, right?
But that's yeah. No, that's our rule. If you get married, you're done. No, but seriously, I mean, and that kind of thing, you know, I didn't know. But that has slowed down a little bit. We have 6 or 7 spaces now. And if you're a Guildcast listener who has found that you got kicked from Massively Overpowered, it's nothing personal. I swear it's just that you were inactive for more than a month. And that's okay. Stuff happens. But we needed the spots. So just send me a quick message and I can bring you back in. It's no big deal. Because, again, that flood has slowed down to a small river. And we have some room now, but if you found that you got kicked from the guild, that was why, and, you know, no hard feelings, and I would love to have you come back in, so just message me. That's okay.
Cool. Sounds fair enough.
Yeah. So, but we are having an absolute blast. We have 2 or 3 groups going every Thursday night, and that's the only thing. I love Guild Wars so much. I can't wait for Guild Wars 2, where we don't have to say, all right, I can have 7 other people and that's it. Everybody else, you have to go form your own group.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's so many groups, but at least you'll be able to run side by side.
Yeah. And I would like that. And somebody asked if we were going to do Massively Overpowered in Guild Wars 2. I would love to. I hope to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'd be cool. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's just, we are having a ball with it, though. And we live stream every Thursday night at 9:00 Eastern. So you can go to, it's massively.com/livestream. And we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Well, let's start talking about this Guardian that everyone is.
Yes, please.
All abuzz about it. Now, this is the Blue Mace Lady. So we can officially stop saying Blue Mace Lady.
Oh, right? Yes, please. I am really, I guess that's not very nice. I am so sick of hearing Blue Mace Lady. I don't know why, but after a while I was like, just let it go.
I am going to, on the day of launch, I'm going to be the first in line. And as soon as the game launches, I'm going to make a character named Blue Mace Lady.
You are probably like the 10,000th person to think that. You're going to have to hustle.
I know. Well, I just want to do it just so that every day I can PM you in game and be like, hi, Ruby.
No. Hi, Ruby. I'm still here.
Hi, Ruby.
You're going to be sorry when you have to find a new Guild Wars 2 writer because you drove me insane.
Oh, yeah. So never mind that.
Yeah.
So you want to tell us a little bit about what the Guardian's all about?
Yeah, the Guardian is, This is the holy warrior that I was talking about before.
Yeah, actually, let me just say that you totally called this. I mean, you called the necromancer, right? You called this. Did you call the ranger too?
I'm pretty sure I called the Ellie.
You called the Ellie, yeah.
That's important. The Ellie needed to be the first reveal.
You get inside information, don't you?
I wish. If by getting inside information you mean begging for inside information, yes.
Oh, that's right.
I do, in fact, do that.
All right. Go ahead.
That's okay. Just from the hints that they've given, that's just the impression I got, was some sort of holy warrior. And I wish I could describe it better. But the Guardian, I think this is one, aside from the Ellie, which just, you know, sent me into seventh heaven. The Guardian has fascinated me because I don't really view it as a monk replacement, because the Guardian has elements of a prop monk. It has elements of the ritualist. It has elements of a warder elementalist. It is this incredible compilation of classes and skills and things that we recognize from now. And it's almost, the lore potential here excites me so much, because they have, he can summon a hammer, and it has the appearance, it is a chained hammer, it has the appearance of a Guild Wars ritualist chained spirit. Mm. It's got the chain, it's got that color and that aura and that glow to it. And he can mark wards on the ground. And it's got this feeling to me that from a lore and story point of view, that all of these skills, the ritualist, and we don't know if the ritualist is gone. We do know the monk is gone. But it has this feeling to me that all of this learning and knowledge and all of these skills and things that the Guardian can do have been handed down for 250 years, and they're remnants and of what we know now. Mm-hmm. And it is, and see, I could do this and rhapsodize about this all day long, but it is this amazing combination of things that we know now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that you're saying that it's like an evolution of a few different things, and I totally
thank you. That was the word I was losing my word.
I'm totally on board with that too. I think that that's a good idea. Also, this class can wear heavy armor, right?
Yes, this is a heavy armor class, and oh my gosh, the Asura in heavy armor is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they have that that image in the concept art.
She's so adorable.
Now, is that the one? I think Tiger Feet was the one that said this on Twitter, asked if that was a female, and Regina confirmed that it was a female.
Yes, it is a female, and I'm just going to keep squeeing about how cute she is. She has these big purple eyes, and she's got – I love the way that ArenaNet has done the art for female characters, like with the female Char. Mm-hmm. Because they're not, you know, it's not, I don't know, like a curvy, big-breasted Catwoman. Mm. It's just a Char, and it's just an Asura. But there is a very subtle feminine appearance that you can't miss. But there's not even anything, it's like her features are a little bit finer and maybe a little smaller. It's not anything you can put your finger on and say, okay, she has one, two, and three. She has this. Mm-hmm. But you look, and it's a very feminine appearance. Even with this little Asura in heavy armor, to me, it's very clear that she's a female, and I love the way the art is done on that.
Yeah, I have to agree. I do like that too. There's no overtly, you know, like what you would think of. It's not like you know, a superhero, you know, Champions Online or DC Go, kind of a over the top female avatar. It's exactly like you said. I almost think it's in the eyes. I think when you look at the eyes, you're kind of like, that's, you know, you can tell. I think that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, it really is. Actually, with the eyes, like you said, that's, now that you say that, that's kind of the core. That's where you see it first. Mm-hmm. But I don't need an Asura with an hourglass figure and a D cup.
You know, sorry, I was just imagining that.
That is a horrible thing. Wouldn't that, I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I make that noise again.
I got to put it at the end of the show.
Don't you dare. I have taken so much heat for that. And, you know, I didn't listen all the way to the end. Someone told me in Massively IRC yesterday, and they just said, hey, Ruby, what was that noise you made? And I'm kind of looking around like, are you in my house? What are you talking about? And they explained it to me. I went, listen, and I do need to kill you later.
Awesome. Okay.
Forgot to mention that. But
good luck with that.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's like my, that's my grossed out noise. They wanted to know, you know, what is that you're doing? But anyway, the point is they can, you can make these characters overtly feminine. And this picture of the Asura guardian makes it very clear. She is obviously feminine. Mm-hmm. And we don't have, you know, we don't have some gross buxom Asura.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the way they do that. And they're kind of like in tune with how that can work. You know what I mean? I like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I love that so much. We don't need to, it doesn't need to be overtly sexual mm-hmm. to be feminine. And yeah. that's one of the things I love about how ArenaNet's doing this. Yeah. This is such a sidetrack, but it's an interesting one.
Yeah, that's all right. That's our thing. Sidetracked. Yeah. Sidetrack cast.
Yeah. So the Guardian, not just the Asura Guardian, but
yes.
the Guardian.
Yes. Well, okay, so we saw on their reveal, they had a little bit of information about the kind of the backstory. They had some information on the skills that they can use. I thought this was interesting. They talk about the weapons that they can use. Now, I'm seeing a pattern here. You know, these, they can use the mace, scepter, and sword as main hand, offhand as focus, shield, and torch. There's that mm-hmm. torch again. And two-handed, great sword, hammer, and staff. So they can use a wide variety of melee weapons. Now, Here's the thing. People have talked before about everything has a ranged weapon. Mm-hmm. I don't see a ranged weapon here.
I guess you could, well, a staff isn't a ranged weapon, but...
Well, I think they make up for it, I would imagine, in the spells that mm-hmm. they have. You know, they have magical weapons, but also you saw the videos. I mean, those spells that they have are very, you know, there are ranged spells, but it seems... We'll talk about this a little bit more in a second, but it seems like they have so many more defensive type of things, you know, more like to protect people. But I just wanted to point that out, that there was, this is one that actually doesn't have a ranged, you know, physical weapon that you can hold in your hand.
That's a good point. That's actually something I didn't think of. But, you know, now that you say that, it kind of fits. The Guardian, and you're going to kill me for this, but there are aspects that I predict about the Guardian that I can see similar to the assassin. And here's why. Just hang on.
Okay.
I anticipate the Guardian being the most difficult class to play that we've seen so far. Hmm. And here's why. I maintain that the assassin is a good class that is hard to play. Mm-hmm. If you play an assassin right, it is a very, very deadly class. But a lot of people say, oh, it sucks, because they don't really know, not that they don't know how to play it, but they haven't mastered it.
Uh-huh. Well, or you could be like me and just say it because you like to make people mad.
Well, there's that too, which is cool, because that's kind of fun. But I anticipate that sort of attitude when people start playing the Guardian, because the Guardian is going to be a very difficult class to play. And this does tie in with the ranged weapon thing. I am getting there, I swear. Because the Guardian's got several roles. He's definitely frontline. And that's the first thing. You're going to have to get through me first. That's the first thing he says in the reveal. So he's got this frontline protective aspect. He's got this frontline protective role. But if that frontline is breached, he needs to fall back. And the player's going to have to very quickly figure out, all right, my role just changed. What has it changed into? Do I need to go offensive? Do I need to start attacking? Do I need to start protecting people? Do I need to be on the edges of battle? Do I need to be in the middle? It's such a versatile class, but none of its roles lend itself to ranged physical weapons, mm-hmm. yeah. which I did not think of until you said that.
Yeah.
There are no circumstances where the Guardian's going to need to be back firing arrows.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, even though we've taken out the traditional tank, I think this is more of a tank than the warrior. Because I think the warrior is more of like a champion kind of a thing, where it's more mm-hmm. of an offensive warrior, you know, especially since they have bows and they have you know, other aspects of dealing damage. I think that the Guardian seems to be more of a tank, and it seems to be more about protecting, like, you know, mm-hmm. a mix, like you said, a mix between the prop monk and a warrior with stances, I guess, the way, I mean, not the Guardian has stances, but the way that the original warrior was used with stances. And then you have, like you said, the ritualist too. I think that all of those aspects. So I like how they've done this. I like that it seems like, you know, when you take into consideration how the weapon skills will make up half your skill bar, and then you look at the weapons that are available, it looks like a lot of it will be about, you know, up-close melee kind of defense. You know, it won't be so much about dealing damage, but just defending. But at the same time, they also have these special skill types that they mention in this blog post, and they're spirit weapons, symbols, wards, and ages. Spirit weapons are what you talked about with that big hammer. It's like a spirit hammer with a chain and it flies around. This is kind of more of an offensive thing, and then the symbols seem to be more defensive. These are symbols that they can put on the ground and act almost like you said with the wards, the elementalist wards. But then they also do have wards themselves, which are they're also symbols on the ground. It's like a way of marking an area on the ground that stops an enemy from going through. That to me makes me think of crowd control. Crowd control is a you know, a big part of any successful MMO, you know, or RPG group, and I think that the wards kind of do that. Aegis is another part of defensive. You know, they block attacks. They have kind of a way to they're actually removable boons, but they block attacks. They kind of protect the other people in the party. So it seems like with these different skill types, these you know, categories of skills, that it's all about protecting your fellow, you know, team members and protecting yourself and all that. In the videos, I noticed one kind of overarching, you know, plot, I guess, with a lot of the skills. And what it was is this video, well, there are multiple videos. There are five of them. They each show the different skills, like they've been doing with all of the class reveals. And it seems like in every one of them, he's running up to save an innocent victim. You know, there's like a villager being attacked, and he runs up, protects him, and then, you know, does damage, you know, kills the enemies. So I think that they're trying to just really portray that is what this guy's all about. You know, he's all about protecting. He's all about kind of saving the group, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's a skill called Sanctuary, where basically you make a bubble where a player can run in there and heal. And he can't attack from in there, but it's a sanctuary where you can pop in there real quick, regen, and then get back into battle. So that's kind of, it falls right in line with what you just said.
Well, let's go down the line here and on these skills on each of these videos. The first one, Shield Absorption, like you said, it's what I think is cool about this one is it seems very much about, absorbing, well, I mean, it's such a self-explanatory term, but absorbing, you know, making a shield to absorb damage. And then we have Faithful Strike. That one seems a little more offensive. And then there's Zealot's Defense. It's kind of the same thing. The one I like a lot, Wall of Deflection, that one looks cool. What he did in the video is he made like a bubble around the person he's protecting. And then there were, I think it was Grawl that were running up and they were throwing stuff at him, but it would bounce off and hit him, you know, it'd bounce off and hit them and kill them, which is so cool.
That was pretty awesome.
I mean, that's something that I imagine a lot of people want to do in MMOs for a while, but they can't do it because of the mechanics of, you know, deflection and with lag and, you know, all that kind of stuff, latency and all that. So it's kind of cool that is, you know, we actually have that now. I'm excited to play that.
Oh yeah.
And then Hammer of Wisdom is the last one. That's one we discussed. It's kind of like a spirit weapon, a little bit more offensive than the others, but it does some damage, it looks like.
Yeah, it does. And actually, it could be used almost as a protective thing. If you run up and throw that down on an enemy that's attacking one of your teammates, you know, it's kind of a, you know, get off the ranger thing.
Yeah.
What's cool is that some of these, like Shield of Absorption and Aegis, are skills that we have now. And again, that goes back to my mind, the evolution of skills within the lore and story.
Yeah. Yeah, and tying that all together, yeah.
Yeah, I really love it. This might be the class that makes me play Melee.
Uh-oh.
Because the warrior does not the warrior's cool class. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Doesn't interest me at all. I was reading this going, ooh. I want to try this.
Now, there's another aspect of the Guardian that is mentioned here, and their virtues. They say that there are three special virtue abilities, and it's justice, courage, and resolve. And these all grant certain passive benefits, while they're fighting. Justice, it says, I'm just going to read these straight from the site because I think that they explain it the best. Justice, every fifth attack causes burning. Use this skill to make nearby allies' next attacks cause burning. And this disables your justice for 30 seconds. So it seems like it's something to be, it's a little more offensive, but it kind of helps out your allies. And it seems this is it's that whole thing with the Guardian, that they're helping out the allies. That's what it's all about. Courage, every 30 seconds you're granted Aegis, blocking the next attack. Use this skill to apply Aegis to all nearby allies. That's a defensive one, it seems like. Resolve, you regenerate health. Use this skill to remove conditions and apply regeneration to all nearby allies. Now that's the healing part of it. That's that's the prop monk in it. So a little bit of everything. I really like that.
I do too. And this speaks to, this is like echoes of a paragon to me.
Yeah.
And because you've got these things that, you're basically shouting out helps to your teammates. And if you look at the armor, there's a very strong wing and feather element.
Yeah.
To the armor and shield. So it's, again, it goes back to, these are things that are, these are kind of familiar elements, and it's a combination of a lot of familiar elements, but it's all very protective and supportive, and I like that.
Yeah, me too. I really do enjoy the fact that they are pulling from so many different professions that we know now, because it's only fair, if they completely got rid of one completely, which they've said they've done with the monk, but they haven't really, because they've brought it into other ones. They've brought healing into everything. So they're not alienating anyone, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, it's incorporated into what we're getting here.
Yeah.
Now this brings to mind, some speculation. So does this mean that we're definitely not getting a written a paragon? I mean, I think people can really go down that path and wonder. And I try not to wonder at this point, but it does seem to make the writ and the paragon a little redundant.
I would say they're probably going to get rid of them because they're we see the elements here, I think. So I would bet yes. But I'm also the guy who keeps saying there's going to be a Mesmer reveal next. So,
all right, I'm calling it now. The Mesmer's going to be the eighth reveal. I'm sorry, but I am convinced.
Eighth reveal, you say?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm completely convinced of that.
I'm still holding out for the next one. So I'm saying
I'm sorry.
Because, we have to have a Mesmer and we have to have a rogue type.
Well, they've teased a rogue assassin type now.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, that's two right there. Yeah, okay. Anyway, we could go on that forever, but we'll save that. We'll have a round table.
Oh, there we go. I want a surprise. We know the rogue, we know the Mesmer. I mean, and I don't know if it'll be called the rogue, but we've got those are in the bag. Give me a surprise. I'm not surprised anymore. We've known the Necro. We've known this Guardian. We know the Rogue. We know the Mesmer. Surprise me with the other one. There's one more left where you can give me something that I was not expecting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you want to mention about the Guardian? I mean, there's so much to talk about and speculate on.
There is, and I actually look forward to hearing what our listeners have to say. So that's... Yeah. I think I've squeed about it enough.
Yeah, if you want to let us know. I mean, there have been a lot of opinions on it. We wrote that story over massively, and on the forums you see this stuff. But people are saying this is replacing the monk. People are saying this is replacing the paragon. Actually, we got an email. I'm going to see. Oh, here we go. I had to read this. This is hilarious. He calls. This is from Nathan. He calls. He says it's a paragon without a skirt. And he says, I can finally play one without feeling ashamed. So the next class reveal will be a dervish without a dress.
Oh, poor skirt wearing, poor man skirt paragons.
I love that. I had to find that just to kind of insert that in here. But
love it.
Yeah. Good times.
Well, no, I'm really happy with how they've incorporated things that we already know with the Paragon. Listen to me. I don't think it's a straight monk replacement, though. I can't call it that.
No, I don't think so either.
That's too easy. There's more depth to it than that. And I don't think it does the Guardian justice to say it's a monk replacement and leave it at that, because it's so much more.
Yeah. So let us know in the comments what you think. What do you think that, we always want to hear your next speculation, I guess, after we get a new class reveal. But also, what do you think about this class? Some people have actually said that they're very disappointed in this. You don't have to make one, so.
It's okay. there are going to be 8.
Yeah.
It's all right.
All right. Let's get into the emails then. We have quite a few, like I said, and we have a little bit of time here to get through these. This one here, this is from Ken from Chicago, and I think this is funny. He says, "I'm sorry, Ruby. I didn't mean in my previous email to make you relive such traumatic memories of having to play in Guild Wars 2 demo as Melee live in person in front of thousands of people."
Dude, that was hilarious.
"You did almost as badly as I would have played. Gasp. PvP." It's kind
of it was that bad.
That's hilarious.
It sucked a lot.
Okay, so this next email, this is from Matt, and he says, "You might find this interesting if you've not seen it already. There's this thread over at Guild Wars 2 Guru, just a link to a forum thread that has compiled all the information and skeptics about the Mesmer." Ooh, I'll have to link to that in the show notes. I'll send you that link.
Awesome, thanks.
It's over at Guild Wars 2 Guru, and it's called the Mesmer thread. And it's all, like, everything. It's from the mechanic-related, different interviews, like, you know, solid information, not really too much speculation there. But then the fan thoughts, they have links to all the threads talking about, you know, speculation on the Mesmer. And then we have the fan art. We have the Mesmer wallpaper. I mean, there are images, you know. I mean, it's all over the place. So I think... also links to the Ghost of Ascalon mention of the Mesmer. Everything relating to the Mesmer. It's a really cool little compilation, I guess you could say.
Cool.
Let's see. Next email. Okay, this one is from Lucas, and it says, "Hi, you two. This is Lucas from MVOP. The Coden are so fascinating, and the feature Mr. Flannum wrote was enjoyable. I can't wait to see them in-game so I can tell them how ridiculous their beliefs are." Just really.
I love you.
"I will say that racial hierarchy stuff is easy when you're isolated from the rest of the world. If all you see on your ice cube is fuzzy polar bears, then of course you're going to believe that everyone isn't reincarnated as fuzzy polar bears and that they're the supreme beings. You're joining the rest of the world now, and we don't need you to maintain any balance. Just be nice, help others, and leave your poisonous tribalism at the door. I will also give them all belly rubs."
Lucas, you are freaking awesome.
I love Lucas.
I do too.
"Moving on, one of the topics of your roundtable with Relics of War was that you're dying to hear about. PvP and crafting were mentioned. For me, there are two things. First, music. I'm extremely excited about a new soundtrack in Guild Wars 2. ArenaNet has already done features on sound design and voice work on the blog, so what about Jeremy Soule's work? Another series he's done the music for, The Elder Scrolls, recently previewed his new theme for their upcoming Skyrim. Surely the music of Guild Wars 2 will be worthy of a preview feature on the blog. Has there been any Guild Wars 2 music previewed other than what we hear in ArenaNet's videos? I wasn't able to hear the music during the PAX demo because of the noise. Plus, I would have rather talked to the ArenaNet staff nearby. Second is the AI. The two most common ways of making games more difficult are giving the AI bonuses or making the AI smarter. Smarter AI is, of course, expensive and hard to do, but can we expect smarter AI in Guild Wars 2? In what ways will it be smarter? How will difficulty scale throughout the game? The difficulty in Guild Wars 1 scaled by means of AI bonuses, but they were still subject to the same exploits, like targeting minions, auto-attacking, and having predictable pathfinding. I'd love to hear about this from ArenaNet, but for now, I'll settle for speculation. Keep up the good work, Lucas."
Yay, speculation.
I was thinking about that earlier when you were talking about the masters, getting masters in that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how are they going to do that? I'm sure they're going, you know, they started Guild Wars with mission and bonus. You know, it was all about a more difficult way to do the same thing, which has been a huge hit. So has there been any info on that? How they're going to do that in quests?
Not that beyond just the scaling, not that I know of.
Yeah, I think the scaling would be a big part of it. Scaling is getting to be pretty popular now. A lot of games are doing that. Automatic scaling. Rift does that with their Rift. That's what they're called. The Rifts, like public quests.
Yeah.
And you know, when you go in, it kind of calculates automatically who, how many people are there, what level they are, and everything. And that's, you know, if more people jump in, then more monsters pop out of the ground. So it's And Guild Wars 2, they've talked about that they're going to do something like this as well. And I think it works really well. So I think as far as difficulty, that's probably what will happen. It's kind of an evolutionary thing where it's always, you know, the more people jump in or the higher level or the, you know, whatever, it's going to change and evolve with you. And maybe, you know, more difficult creatures will come out of the ground or sky or wherever they come from.
You know, I like the scaling concept in pretty much every game. DDO does that in an instanced fashion. Anytime you enter a dungeon or a quest, you have four options from casual to epic. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, if you're playing solo, you can choose casual and it scales it down a little bit. And it's almost, with the epic just jacks it up all the way. And it's like more content, because if you're a level 20 player that raids every night, you're not going to want to go back to, I don't know, you're not going to want to go help, what's his name, Bookbinder, go release his family for the 87th time. That's a real guy.
Yeah.
That's really a thing. But if you crank it up to epic, you've got, it's a much bigger challenge, and you can revisit that content, and it's like it's new. I like that because it gives more to do, and more to do is always good.
Yeah. That's what makes us play them for forever.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's go on to the next email here. This is from Farkas, and he says, "I think that Guild Wars 2 should integrate some of the finer points of Facebook." Wait a minute. What? He says, which points? Well, I'd like to see something along the lines of a status. Say, if I'm farming pink fluffy drakes for the woolen drake fluff, I can post, I'm farming pink fluffy drakes for the woolen drake fluff, and all of my friends could easily and quickly see what I'm up to. Or say I needed help with a quest, I could simply post that. This could also work very well with guilds and alliances and stuff. Another note, what worries do I have about Guild Wars 2 that the social aspects will be lackluster? Honestly, I've yet to play a game with a built-in social network that I was a fan of. Why am I worried? Because even though ArenaNet seems to be shooting for above the bar in every area, the acceptable standard for this area is very low. Sure, they could get away with adding a mail system and calling it a day, but that's the status quo. If they were to make a fully fleshed out social network sort of service in-game, it could put Guild Wars 2 leaps and bounds beyond the competition. Sure, I don't have too many good suggestions, but it's not my job as a fan to come up with suggestions. It's my job to tell them what I want and their job to deliver. Well, there it is. Hope to see something amazing from your local Fark Wizard Farkas. Social parts, there have been a lot of games that have experimented with that lately. Cryptic did some things with champions where when you would reach a certain achievement, it would actually tweet it on your Twitter or your Facebook. I mean, it would announce it, but it became really annoying because they have 16 trillion achievements in that game, so you were spamming all your friends and everybody removed you and you didn't have any friends anymore. It was like the opposite of social. So, you know, where's that line? I mean, they have to have a lot of customizable options where you can turn that stuff off or on, you know, preferably by default having it off. You know,
yes.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things they could do. I'm sure, you know, ArenaNet's up on all the social stuff, so I'm sure that they would, they have thought of things like that. But yeah, letting your friends know what you're doing is always a good thing. Maybe just even your guildies, you know, maybe in the guild panel it'll say, you know, what you're doing or where you're at or something like that. That stuff's always fun.
I don't, frankly, see a need for it beyond what ArenaNet already has planned. I understand the concept, but there are several things that make me think that the track ArenaNet is on now is perfectly fine. First of all, like you said, the Facebook achievement thing, DDO did that for a while. I used it for like 5 minutes, and everybody hated it.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, I'm not slamming Turbine because you have to try this stuff. But it doesn't need to be on everybody's Facebook. It doesn't even need to be on their Twitter. When I see those Raptor messages where, you know, somebody's like, "Oh, I'm jumping into such and such game," like, I don't care. if I wanted to go play, I don't know, Black Prophecy with you, I would.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't want to play Black Prophecy, so stop telling me about it. Yeah. So from that point of view, I think it's proved over the past year that it's not been a hit at all in MMOs. Yeah. As far as within the game, I have to say that pink fluffy drakes had better be a thing, or I'm going to be really ticked off.
Possibly, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but otherwise, if you're farming pink fluffy drake, whatever, you know, you can tell your guild.
yeah,
there's and that's no cool with that. Me. There's no shame in that. I'm sure there's going to be. Isn't there? See, it's hard to remember this stuff off the top of my head now. So, somebody correct me if I forget to look it up later. But there will be some sort of global chat where you can say, "Hey, I'm." You know, killing the mother of all pink fluffy drakes over here. And people in the area can come help. And I think you can do that. They've got the iOS apps. Mm-hmm. And I think they're on a good track with what they're creating now. I don't see a need or a desire, I mean a large desire, for more social media aspects within the game. Mm-hmm. And I really don't see it for Facebook outside of the game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I just don't think enough people like that to make it worth the time that they would put into creating and implementing it.
Yeah. I guess we will see, huh?
But pink fluffy drakes. I want to get them on the list.
There you go. It's on the list.
Yay.
Let's see. I'm going to skip through a few of these emails. There's some that are quite old, and I don't want to put the Guardian-related ones to, you know, off for a few more weeks. So let's. I'm going to read through some of these Guardian ones. This first one says, "Hi, Ruby and Sean. This is Optimus Maleficius again. Sean, your pronunciation of my name in the last email did not disappoint. Yay. The C is the same as in Icarus. Icarus. Maleficus? Okay. Anyway, I just saw all of the Guardian info on GuildWars2.com, and as I expected, my first thoughts were, haha, mending. But seriously, the Guardian sounds like a fun class and is a good replacement for the Guild Wars 1 monk. Oh, there we go. The virtue abilities are very powerful, but have a long cooldown to match, making them useful as a defensive panic button and or to turn the tide of the big battle. However, I hope that they will not turn out to be the be-all and all of support skills, as I would not want this class to be a requirement in pugs like the monk is today. Here's what I really wanted to write in about. I am greatly amused by the new downloadable wallpaper of an Asura decked out in heavy armor from head to toe. I like how it looks, but the Asura are short, so it's funny to see them in heavy armor. This question has been asked before, but I feel it's topical given today's news. How is being a diminutive Asura going to affect one's performance as a soldier profession? Should there be particular advantages or disadvantages to their small stature? I'm not sure what the answer is, but I'll tell you one thing. I'd be afraid of a feral Asuran warrior's bite as much as a Char's. Regards, Optimus Maleficus.
Maleficus.
yeah, I think that's a good point. That's always something. You know, they have gnomes and hobbits and, you know, a lot of the smaller classes, halflings in EverQuest. I think that that's something that's always been kind of a thing. You know, a lot of those, like later or earlier games, they make it so that you can't be any kind of a mighty warrior type if you're a small race.
That's sizist.
Yeah, it is. But they're now kind of opening that up. And I think that Guild Wars, you know, everything's going to be available. So I think that it's not really an issue with the Asura. Sure, it's funny, you know. I mean, you see the little... But, I mean, it's cheaper because you don't have to make as much armor, right?
Oh, you just opened such a can of worms there. People are going to be throwing a fit. Why does my armor cost the same as the Norn armor? Takes like a tenth of the metal. I'll tell you what, do not discount an Asuran Guardian, because she will explode your kneecaps.
That's true. And you need your kneecaps. I mean, they prevent your legs from going the other way. And
they help.
Yeah. So.
So, I don't know. All I can picture, which Star Wars movie was it where Yoda was like flying all over the place during
that? Oh, that was the last one, I think.
I think I blocked it out, but because after we watched it, I turned to my husband. I was like, I bet there was like a bidding pool on who got to throw that puppet around. But that's what I picture, and I hope it's not going to be like that, but it is funny.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think that that's not as much of an issue. I mean, it's kind of a aesthetic thing, you know, role playing. Mm-hmm. If you want to get into that, but other than that, I mean, I'd rather them open up all of the classes to all the races, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to see it restricted. That's part of the beauty of what we're seeing in Guild Wars 2. If I want to be a 2 foot tall guardian, okay.
Yeah, I mean, someone has to guard the ankles, right?
You know, ankles are as important as kneecaps. It's a thing.
Okay, so the first part of his email here, he's talking about he hopes it's not the be-all, end-all of support. I honestly believe, once again, I say this all the time, but I honestly believe that ArenaNet has thought about this. You know, I mean, they've mentioned before that they don't want any be-all, end-all classes. Mm-hmm. So I think this is something that I'm sure they've addressed, and I'm sure that they're, you know, there's a balance, I'm sure. Anyone who's played Guild Wars for years knows that they are all about balance anyway.
Right. Yeah, and they've worked too hard to get away from the Holy Trinity in Guild Wars 2 to have this sort of oversight.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's see. I'm going to read one more email.
Okay.
Let me do a recent one here. Okay, this one is from your favorite. Guess who it's from? Your favorite name, favorite in-game name.
Oh, I give up.
Mr. Funktastic.
Yay! Say it again.
Mr. Funktastic.
Yay!
Okay. It says, hey guys, he puts in-game name Mr. Funktastic at the beginning, so that I have to read it all the time.
Yay!
It says, hey guys, I just wanted to say how happy I am that they showed a brand new profession and a type of profession that is support-oriented, which I enjoy playing from time to time. I was hoping they were going to reveal the Mesmer, not because I have something against the Mesmer more so, I just wanted to see something new. After listening to your podcast, Sean's enthusiasm for a Mesmer reveal, for some reason, had me convinced it was next up. I'm so glad he was wrong. Sorry, Sean, you're the man, though, bro. Keep up the good work, guys. I'll keep listening. Peace. Yeah, I still, next time, it's going to be the Mesmer. I'm holding on to that.
All right. I'll let you have
I'm ignoring all the other classes. Like, what's Guardian? What? I didn't hear about that. I'm waiting for the Mesmer.
Would you say that you are mesmerized by the anticipation of the reveal?
See. You got your own little rim shot back there?
Yeah. I have to do my own rim shots because they're so bad nobody else will do it.
Yeah, I'm also glad that they revealed such a heavy support character. I don't want to mention Rift again, but I'm going to. I've been playing a lot of Rift lately in the beta, and it's one of those things where when I made a character, I said, you know what I want? I love the heavy armor. I love heavy armor, but I want to play a support character. I want to be in the back, still wearing heavy armor, and I want to be able to buff my allies. You know, I want to be able to do that kind of thing. I don't want to be right in the front line. I just want to be helping everyone else out. I'd love playing support characters, and you don't really have any, except I guess Warhammer had the War Priest, I think it was called. Man, I can't believe I forgot that. So anyway, Warhammer had their heavy armored healer class. And then, you know, now that we see it, it's going to be in Guild Wars 2. It does make me very happy. And it's one of those things that kind of caught me by surprise. I'm so wrapped up in this Mesmer thing, you know, and then my go-to plan B is the Necro, you know, so I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, I got those. I mean, we don't have the Mesmer for sure, but I mean.
Yes, we do. It's just going to be a while.
Yeah. So it's like Mesmer, Necro, I'm taken care of, you know, Ranger. I mean, that's my other favorite. I'm taken mm-hmm. care of. But then they throw this out there and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I didn't realize how much I wanted this class until I see it. And now I'm like, this, like, heavy armor support class, that would be great. That would, so, I'm just, ArenaNet, you're killing me. I mean.
No, you're excited. This is a good thing.
I know. They're killing me in a good way.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm basically that giant rant was, or that, not really rant, but...
it's a rave.
Rave. Yeah, that giant rave was about how I am also pleasantly surprised with the Guardian so far.
Yay!
Okay, well, I guess that's probably about it. We still have tons of email that we will get to. Maybe we'll do just an all-email show like we did before. If someone invents that 25th hour of the day.
Oh, I'm using that. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well,
and I really need it. I can't share.
If I could borrow it sometime, we'll get that
I'll
done.
I'll think about it. Yeah.
All right. So if you want to email us, you can, I mean, even though I complain about the number of emails, definitely still emails. We want to hear about The Guardian, your thoughts on The Guardian. So
yes, please.
You can email Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com, or both, if you want. A lot of people are doing that.
Both is good.
You can check out our Twitter and Facebook pages. You can check out our main page at guildcast.com, where you'll find the show notes with your little blurbs about what we talked about and links to what we promised we'd link. Almost every time.
Yay.
So, yeah, that's about it. So until next week, we will do the big roundtable. Be a lot of fun, persistence versus instanced, and I'm really excited about that. So until then, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.